This evening we're going to go for a third and final time to Numbers chapter 16 and the story of Korah's rebellion. So please, if you would, turn there in your Bibles, Numbers chapter 16, and I'll read a selection of verses in just a moment. The first two sermons I brought from this story focused on Korah and his conspirators. We looked at what motivated their rebellion, the twin evils of discontentment and deceit. And then we thought about how they twisted the truth, especially Korah, when he came and accused Moses and Aaron of being greedy and self-appointed. Now, maybe you didn't sense it as much as I did, but I felt that those two sermons were fairly direct. There were some hard lessons about the way we are to relate to authority, and a pastor doesn't particularly enjoy preaching those sermons, because in the church context, he is the leader. He is the one to whom God has entrusted a measure of authority. Now, whether your conscience was troubled or not, you'll be glad to know that tonight I'm going to shift the spotlight away from Korah and his fellow rebels and onto Moses. There are some important lessons for leaders in this story, and so the target is on me tonight. And it's really on all of us who have some kind of leadership role. Now, as you can see from the outline sheet that went out with the hymnals, the title for the sermon tonight is Leading Through the Storm. For Moses and Aaron, and indeed for the whole nation, Korah's rebellion was a storm. Actually, it was more like a Category 5 cyclone. It was a very difficult, tumultuous time. It was a time of high emotion. A time where courtesy and respect went out the window. A time where restraint was shaken off. This was a time of heartache and of desperation. And Moses was the leader. Moses was in the eye of the storm. He was the object of many people's dissatisfaction and anger. When we step back and look at how Moses handled himself and how he reacted, we'd have to agree that he led very well. Most leaders would have given up or gone down in a blaze of fury, but not Moses. And we would do well to consider his example for those times when we are called to lead people through a difficult season. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Consider some lessons for leaders. Now, we're not going to read the whole story again. We'll just read the first 15 verses. Please follow along as I read aloud. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take ye censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you that we can gather in this way tonight. We thank you that you have your word. We ask now, by the work of your Holy Spirit, you would help us to understand it. We pray tonight that in the preaching and teaching of your word and in our reception of it, you would just transform us that little bit more into the likeness of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. What I'm going to do tonight is concentrate our attention on four things that Moses did during this awful episode. We might think of them as four marks of his leadership that ought to be marks of our leadership, whether we're leading through a crisis or through a season of plain sailing. Now, I suspect that since Pastor Brendan's departure, you've been missing having an alliterated outline. He was very keen on his alliteration, so you'll be encouraged to see that I've got an alliterated outline for you tonight. In fact, it's got double alliteration, so there you go, I've still got it. Now, first of all, I want us to see that Moses prayed constantly. Moses prayed constantly. Now, from the outset, we see Moses respond to Korah's rebellion by praying. Look, please, at verse 4. Korah has come with his 250-plus associates. He's confronted Moses. He's accused him of greedily taking authority to himself. And what does Moses do? Verse 4. And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Now, perhaps Moses fell on his face because he was shocked, or because he was so overwhelmed by the force of this personal attack on his character and his leadership. Perhaps that was part of it. But in truth, this was the posture of prayer. This was Moses immediately going to the Lord. I look down at verse 22. We'll come back to this later on. The Lord was ready to consume the whole congregation. And verse 22, they, Moses and Aaron, fell upon their faces and said, O God. Now, Moses and Aaron got down and prayed. And then go further down, please, to verse 45. There we see a similar situation. The Lord again was ready to destroy the people for their rebellion. Now, get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they, Moses and Aaron, fell upon their faces. Now, in a previous message we talked about the vitriol of Dathan and Abiram. They accused Moses of leading them out of a land flowing with milk and honey in order to kill them in the wilderness. They accused Moses of setting himself up as a prince over them. It was very spiteful, it was very nasty what they said. Now notice what Moses did when he heard what these two men had said. Verse 15. And Moses was very wroth. Now, that's understandable. That was a normal human response. There was nothing sinful about that. He had good reason to be angry. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord. He was very angry and he prayed. That's not so normal, is it? If this was you and me, perhaps the sentence might read, and he was very wroth and he shouted. He was very wroth and he swore. She was very wroth and she fired off a very cranky email. Not Moses, he was very wroth and said unto the Lord, he prayed. All through this difficult experience, Moses was praying. And that was not only the right response, you know, the best thing he could do, it helped him make wise decisions. It saved him from being overcome by anger or discouragement. Now, he could easily have lost his temper, flown off the handle at Dathan and Abiram and made things worse for himself and for the people. We don't need to be highly educated Bible scholars to see the lesson here for us. Leaders need to pray all the time, through the storms and through the sunshine. This should be our first response when trouble comes. We, like Moses, did need to go down before the Lord. That will not only bring the wisdom of God and the peace of God, it will save us from ourselves, from those natural inclinations that, if indulged, will lead to bad decisions. We know what the New Testament says about prayer, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded. For many of us, this is the hardest discipline in the Christian life. This is the thing we struggle with the most, to pray consistently. Romans chapter 12 verse 2, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now Moses prayed consistently, and then secondly, he perceived correctly. He perceived correctly. And what I mean by this is that Moses, from the beginning, recognized that while this rebellion was about him, it wasn't about him. He recognized that these men were resisting the Lord. They were pushing back against what the Lord had ordained for his people in terms of the priesthood and the leadership of the nation. Because Moses understood this, as he dealt with these men, he put the Lord front and center. Let me quickly point you to some things that Moses said. It's pretty obvious who he wanted these men to think about. Verse 5, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his. Now, your argument is with the Lord, and I'm going to let him show you who are his. Verse 7, it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose. Verse 11, this is perhaps the clearest statement in this regard. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And then look down at verse 28. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. Now, as I was working through this point, another one of Israel's great leaders came to mind. That was Samuel. Remember when the people asked Samuel to give them a king? Now, Samuel had led them faithfully, prayerfully, and wisely for decades, but they wanted to be like their neighbours. They wanted a king. When they made this request, do you remember what the Lord said to Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 7, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. That's what was going on here in Numbers chapter 16. This was ultimately about the Lord's authority, not Moses and Aaron's. Korah was rebelling against God. Now, this is a tricky thing, but it's vitally important that, like Moses, leaders, especially in a church context, perceive things correctly. Now, they see what's actually going on, and particularly in a season of difficulty and trouble. Sometimes leaders are the focus of people's discontentment. Sometimes they are criticized, and they should be, because they really are the problem. You know, they've behaved unethically, unwisely or immorally. They've been a bully or a tyrant. By the biblical standard, they've been a bad leader. They've been a poor shepherd of God's people or a poor steward of God's resources. And I spoke about that in our first message from this story. But sometimes the complaining and the criticism, the discontentment and the dissension is not really about the leader. Sure, he's the visible representation. He might be the focus of the dissension, but in truth, the problem people have is not with him, it's with authority. And ultimately, it's with the Lord and what he has ordained for his people, as it was here in Numbers chapter 16. And it's important that leaders recognize this. And when the storm comes, leaders need to examine themselves. They need to search their hearts. Pray along with David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And they need to seek out wise and trusted counselors and put it to them. Is this all my fault? Have I done the wrong thing? And if in the light of God's word and in the light of wise counsel it becomes clear that the leader is not at fault, he's done the right thing, then he needs to step back and say, this is not about me. This is the manifestation of a deeper and much more significant spiritual problem. The leader needs to take comfort in that, trust in the Lord, respond the right way, and then get out of the way and let the Lord deal with the problem. Not allow personal hurt lead to more trouble. The capacity to see things as they really are is vital for leaders. They need spiritual discernment. They need heavenly wisdom. And I would encourage you to pray for your leaders in this regard. Pray that they will have this wisdom because it's not easy. Now, as Moses led God's people through this crisis, he prayed constantly, he perceived correctly, and then number three, he pleaded compassionately. And this is perhaps the most convicting aspect of this story for those who lead God's people today. Moses interceded for the people to the Lord, and they didn't deserve it. And Moses appealed to the people so they might avoid the judgment of the Lord when he might have been forgiven for doing otherwise. And as we see him do these things, we see a leader with a loving heart. We see a true shepherd. We see a true pastor. Now, I've said it to a couple of people as we've been studying this passage. After our Lord Jesus, I think Moses is the great example of pastoral ministry in the Bible. You think it would be in the New Testament, but it's back here in the Old Testament. If you want to know what a pastor goes through, if you want to know how a pastor should conduct himself, study the ministry of Moses. Now, to see Moses' heart, first of all, look at verse 19. Verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now it seems as though Korah had the whole congregation on his side. They'd all joined his rebellion, or at least he'd persuaded them to come out and see what was going to happen. Verse 19, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And this was an affront to the Lord. This was an affront to his authority. In reality, the people had gathered against him, and he was ready to pour his judgment out on the whole congregation. Now, step aside, Moses and Aaron. I'm going to consume them. And Moses said, go right ahead, Lord. They deserve it. No, he didn't say that, did he? A lesser man might have. Most of us probably would have, but not Moses. Verse 22, and they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? I read that and I go, wow. Moses cared for these people. here he begged the Lord to spare them. Now, as hard-hearted and ungrateful as they were, Moses had compassion on them, and he didn't want them to die. And then if you would look down at verse 26, even when the Lord had determined to judge Korah, Dathan and Abiram, what do we see Moses doing? We see him pleading with the people, warning them. Verse 26, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Now, judgment is coming upon these men. Get away from them. Don't associate yourselves with them. Now, Moses could have taken the opposite attitude. He could have thought to himself, well, if people are going to associate themselves with Dathan and Abiram and they perish, well, so be it. They'll get what's coming to them. They deserve it. But Moses didn't think that way. Rather, he warned the people. And that again reveals a heart of love and care. This is a very hard thing for a leader to do, especially in seasons of difficulty, and especially if he or she is the focus of unfair criticism or dissension. It's hard to maintain a loving heart. It's hard not to allow bitterness to take hold, but this is what a good leader does. This is being like the chief shepherd. A good leader maintains their compassion. A good leader intercedes for those in their care, even if they don't really deserve it. They love them and serve them, even when they're doing the wrong thing. And brothers and sisters, this is impossible. This is impossible apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. Only Jesus can keep a leader's heart warm for the people he is responsible for. Only Jesus can sustain this kind of leadership. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that Moses was able to respond this way. After all, he'd spent so much time with the Lord. He was close to the Lord. In fact, at the end of Deuteronomy, we're told that there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Because Moses was so well acquainted with the Lord, because Moses knew the Lord like this, he was filled with heavenly grace, and therefore he could respond so graciously. And Moses pleaded compassionately for God's people, and then fourth and finally we see that he proceeded carefully. He proceeded carefully. It was the former Prime Minister, Gough Whitlam, who famously described leadership as being either crash or crash through. And history has probably judged that he did both. There was some crash through and then a crash. But that wasn't Moses in this story. There was no swashbuckling. Moses didn't come out swinging in defence of his leadership. There wasn't a big, bold response to Korah, and that's not always what we see when leaders are faced with a crisis. Often the world says, you come out fighting. Rather, Moses was considered and careful. Moses gave place to the Lord. He allowed the Lord to affirm his choice of leaders. He carefully arranged for the rebels to bring their censers to the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord would show who were his. And then even when it became clear that God's judgment was going to fall on Korah, Dathan and Abiram, notice what Moses said. Look please at verse 28. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. In other words, if these men die, as men ordinarily do, if they get old or get sick and die, then I'm not speaking for the Lord, and I'm wrong about all of this. Verse 30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Do you see how carefully Moses framed this? Can you see how he didn't just blast these men and call down the judgment of God? He was humble even at this moment when he knew his leadership was about to be vindicated. He was prepared to concede if he was in the wrong. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. And Moses proceeded carefully, even though his natural inclination was probably to do otherwise. Human wisdom would counsel Moses not to be so considered, not to be so humble. But we know what happened, don't we? Verse 31. It came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Verse 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Now, there is a place for courage and even for boldness when it comes to leading God's people. When the storm comes, leaders need to stand firm. Moses certainly did here. Moses didn't back down. Moses didn't cower in the faces of these men. No, he got down before the Lord. Leaders have to stand up and lead, but being brash, being belligerent, trying to crash through, that's not God's way. That's not how the good shepherd leads his sheep. Leaders need to seek wisdom. Leaders need to progress thoughtfully and humbly with care and concern. And again, that's not always what they want to do. Sometimes human nature just wants to blow things up. And when leaders give way to that impulse, it always makes things worse. That's not leadership. That's selfishness. And that's not what Moses did here. At the best of times, being a leader has its challenges. And sometimes it's very hard. There are seasons of difficulty, dissension, and disunity. And this was one of them for Moses. I don't think we can fully appreciate the hurt Moses must have felt and the temptation he must have experienced to respond in an ungodly fashion. But praise God he didn't. And by his Spirit the Lord has left us with a wonderful example to follow. If you're called to lead anyone through a storm, remember, pray consistently. Perceive correctly, plead compassionately, and proceed carefully. And by God's grace, you'll make it safely through to the other side. Amen.